Blog Talk Radio.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul, if it takes all night long. The evening sun is taking low. Clock on the wall says it's time to go. I got my plans, and I got plans for you. I'll tell you all exactly what we're all gonna do. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Why is it 12 o'clock and it might be 3? Time doesn't mean that much to me. Ain't felt as good since I don't know when. Don't know when I'm gonna feel this way again.
So come on, get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Might be 6 o'clock, it might be 8. It don't matter that it's getting late. We're gonna make the band play one more song. Get in the groove if it takes all night long.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Artist Seduction with Friday night's intro theme. Because, well, I got distracted and forgot to put a new one out for tonight. So, forgive me. Not that you really are that worried about it. I thought it kind of worked all night long from Central Night to off. Hello, Laurent. How are you tonight?
Not too bad. It's middle of the week, surviving the week. That's a good thing.
Amen, amen. You get to Wednesday, and it's kind of like, yeah, we're halfway there.
Halfway there.
So that always works for me. Yeah, so we got a lot of poetry on the board for tonight. We do. And I think it was pretty good poetry, too, if my memory serves me correctly. And I'm happy to have everybody. So let me see. We have one caller so far. So I guess since we have such a full board, I guess we may as well get the party started. So, Otherwise, Friday is going to be Frisky Friday. Hello, 701. Who's calling, please?
Hey, it's Casey.
Hey, Casey. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Hey, Casey.
Oh, there's nothing complaining here. You know. It's all good. All good.
It's time to wee that horse, my dear.
I'm doing better, but yeah, I had a little bit of a cold.
In this day and age, that's almost like, you know, you're saying you had the cold.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, oh, you're sure it's cold? Yeah, so I'm sure it's cold.
Yeah, you know, people be like, oh, are you dying? No, I didn't feel good for a couple days.
Absolutely. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. It's pretty bad. You're going to be here for a while, Casey?
Yeah, I'll hang out.
Cool.
I just want to know where I'm
starting
here.
Yeah, it's good.
That's the ticket. Okay, well, it's just the three of us, so I'm going to start here. Well, I guess I'll read the first one because it's... I thought this
can't
was going
to
be a long one. You can't do a who?
No. Nothing.
No, I got distracted when I was in the middle of my sentence. In case you didn't notice that. Okay, I'll tell you what. This one is the one I'm going to read first, and it's so short. I'm going to read it because why waste your voice on it, Laurent? You know? This is called Heart Mender by Hawk. She came to me within a dream, then laid me down with single touch into the sheets of finest silk and soothed my fears with softest hush and poem.
Oh, that's nice. Got that gentle, quick quality to it. Almost like a nursery rhyme thing. A little something you say to a loved one, perhaps. Very nice. Very nice.
Very good. Yes. Okay. Laurent, are you running comments or...
How about you, Casey? Did you like that?
I always wait because I don't want to interrupt. But no, I thought this was really good. I love a good brevity. I think that this had everything it needed to say in those short lines. They did a really good job with it. I like that it rhymed as well, and it didn't feel like there was forced rhyme in there. It just had some nice, soft rhyme throughout. Just really pleasant imagery. I like the silk sheets. Just the softness of it. It's really beautiful.
It's almost like you're seeing a mother figure. Of course, she's not going to lay you down in sheets of silk, but, you know.
Well.
All right, Jean, I know you're exhausted from that read, but...
I am. I almost gave it to you to read, but I was afraid it would be too taxing on you. Just kidding. I really liked the piece a lot. I thought that it said so much in so few words, and I always admire that. And I loved the softness of it and the gentle touch that it conveyed. And I really did. I really thought that was great. That's definitely up my alley. So. Thank you so much, Husk, and much enjoyed. Very well done. Okay. So, let me guess. It's on me. How did I know that? I am a mind reader. Okay, Laurent. I'll get this one for you. Whenever you're ready.
How to Map a Woman by Scraps and Scribbles. The many, many ways our hungry lips explored each other's warmth and mapped them out, sounding through your depth with seismic kiss, delight in breathy echoes, whispered shouts. There's softness on the surface, heat at depth, it's always warmer, closest to her core. Relentless now, don't give her any rest until you've lineated every single shore. So press and roll your breath on every league and draw exactly every elevation. Record and key her every local need. Be intricate with each delineation. Then trace her compass gently where it lies and make each sweet degree another cry. And poem. I like this one. It's very direct, how to map a woman. We've read many poems on the show over time that dealt with maps on women and exploring different latitudes, etc. And this one doesn't deviate that far, but the phrasing is a real delight at every point in this. I like it. Did you like this, Casey?
Yeah. No, I thought this was really good. I thought it was very subtly. I'm really bad at talking today.
Wrap your tongue around it, right?
sensual. And I did. I really liked it. My favorite part of this poem is actually, I don't know, I always say he and she for people. I have no idea what gender Scraps and Scribbles is, but I'm going to say he. But I really like how he used breath in this. He really used the sensation of breathing a lot throughout it, and it gave it a lot of character. So I really liked that.
I couldn't agree more. Very nice comment. He uses words like sweet degree, compass, lineation and delineation, elevation, league, shore, core, heated depth, seismic, map them out. Each word relating to a map, and then he cleverly uses them in a way that is very smooth because this really flows so nicely, and it's a nice departure from the normal language. Perhaps it's not overly obvious. It's sweet. And it's carefully written, and I do like it. How about Eugene?
Well, Eugene is busy right now, but Thomas, welcome aboard. Did you happen to hear that piece?
Yeah, I heard that piece. That's really very lovely. It's nice to hear somebody use innuendo with subtlety and grace, so that you find yourself drawn into it and letting it speak to you and create your own images rather than trying to tell you what you should think. And very lovely done. The last line, and make each sweet degree another cry. It's just such a nice use of innuendo. You know, it's subtle, it's graceful, it doesn't denigrate in any fashion or become overly wrapped in too much melodrama, but boy, does it ever say a lot. Really nicely done.
Thank you, Thomas. Excellent comment. All right, there, Jean Marie.
I thought this was beautifully penned. I love the imagery, and I thought it was such a fabulous metaphor throughout. And it was really, really well done. It was softly done. It wasn't harsh in any way, shape, or form. It was just subtle and definitely, I just loved it. So great job, Scraps and Scribbles, and thanks for sharing with us. Loved it. Okay, man. I can find my way out of here. Okay, Casey, I got one for you. And here we go.
Okay. You by Poetic Poetess. You. Sitting in firelight, your face porcelain, and ebony locks frame your red mouth. The golden glow with heat of cinder catches on your shoulders, caressing endlessly, caressing, and glistening as silver down your side. I watch you undress. I watch the silk on your body slowly slip off. My eyes ache at the nakedness of you, mesmerized by that crawl of fire. I feel a purling of rich red blood ebbing, urgently ebbing, as the fire chips blue and blink out black as the devil, while the fragrance of you lingers in darkness, leaving my covetous pulse wanting more. Oh, how the body can betray, but that will give you poetry.
Well read, Casey. Thank you. Thomas, can we start with you, please?
This is a really delightful use of the way that firelight shifts and displays and catches at you at the same time that you're seeing a beautiful woman expose herself. I thought you did a really nice, sharp description of the glow, golden glow with the heart of cinder catches on your shoulders, caressing endlessly, caressing and glistening as silver down your side. That just set up everything else that followed. And the last line, excuse me, not the last line, but the two lines before, oh, how the body can betray, was a nice, clever way to sort of bring to an end the entire description without getting too caught up in his own reactions to everything. Because once he started leaving my coat, his paws wanting more, there had to be a way to sort of excuse yourself. And I thought he did a great job of that.
Thanks.
So overall, this is a really fine piece.
It is. And I was looking for some hint of what was added in the AN, the heterosexual female admiring a beautiful woman in firelight. And I must be missing it, because I was looking for a clue, because you can't really tell the gender of the narrator or the character. But putting that aside, I thought the last three lines, oh, how the body can betray, but that will give you poetry, were really seminal lines, because it will betray anyone who admires and lusts after someone else, or certainly appreciates it deeply. What comes before it is beautiful writing, especially things like sitting in firelight, your face porcelain and ebony locks frame your red mouth. I like the repetition of porcelain, and then caressing again in the second stanza. I thought it was well done. Casey, following your excellent read, what did you think?
Thanks. I really like this one. There's kind of a lot going on for me in my brain. There's a lot happening in my brain right now, but I like this one a lot. I also really liked the repetition she used throughout the porcelain, caressing, ebbing. I think that it adds sort of like this obsession to it. Repetition, it makes her seem like she's, I don't want to say obsessed with it, but it sort of adds that feeling of like urgency and obsession and like stuck on this. You know, I can't move to the next word. I'm stuck. Feeling anyway. But I really like this. I also thought that the read read very much, again, I'm bringing breaths into it, but I felt like it was written kind of like as you're breathing. So her stanzas kind of follow, like the flow of her poem kind of is like breathing in and breathing out as you read it. And that adds to kind of that desire factor, you know, like when you notice your breath, things like that. I thought this was really wonderful, and I'm probably reading way too deep into it, but I love it, and it was really good. And my last little tish I want to throw out there was that she titled it You, and only used you a few times throughout, but where she placed the word you was very profound, I felt. And she really put that in there in strong places. So I thought that was really cool.
Great comment. And I like the observation you made on the pace of the poem vis-a-vis breathing. That was a nice pickup. Jean, did you like this piece? Off mute, of course.
It's always easier that way.
It is. Haven't you found that out?
You've learned
okay.
Well, haven't you?
Well, I learned from the best, and that's where I'll leave that.
Well said.
But I think that, I'm sorry? I didn't hear what you said.
I'm mumbling. I'm sorry. I beg your pardon.
Yeah. Anyway, Laurent, when you were talking and you said that, you weren't seeing the heterosexual female, you know, in this. Well, that was the author itself, I believe, you know,
yeah.
Herself. Reading, you know, or writing about this image of a person that she saw is what my feeling was on it. I think it was beautifully written and beautifully expressed all the way through. I thought there was wonderful imagery throughout. And, you know, definitely an obvious appreciation for the person in front of her. And I thought it was very nicely done. It was tastefully done. It wasn't offensive or anything else. It was just a beautiful piece. So, nice work. Poet. I want to make sure I say it. Anyway, thank you so much. Okay. Now, Thomas. Here, Thomas.
Okay.
I have one for you, if you do not mind.
Oh, gosh. For me? All right, here it is. By the Way, by Charlie's Waiting. We stand there beneath the golden spire. I'm spying high. Then my gaze goes higher. I see chiffon stars and a lemonade moon. Then I coax my butterfly from her cocoon. I caress the pink rose petals of her cheek. Then I pull her closer as she grows weak. I use my lips on places my fingers miss while I search for words that do not exist. Beautiful, gorgeous, lovely, way too plain, common terms that would explain in vain what I adore if I glance at my angel sweet, then the way I feel if eyes chance to meet. I'm at a loss for words, so I raise her chin. A shooting star streaks by as we close in. I feel her breath upon my face as we near, and my alarm goes off, and she isn't here. Today, please, today, let it finally be the day when I see her. If she's walking my way, I look her in the eye, like the Casanovas do, I say, hello, Sarah. Oh, by the way, I love you. End poem.
Nicely read. Nicely read.
Thank you.
Well, we stand there beneath the golden spire. I'm spying high, then my gaze goes higher. I see chiffon stars and a lemonade moon. Then I coax my butterfly from her cocoon. I thought it was an entrancing image and with a very, very good rhythm. It's balanced. The rhyming is not complex, but it's powerful. I love the imagery all the way through here. And I love the story that's told. And that last line lines it up so well. Hello, Sarah. Oh, by the way, I love you. It's nicely done. Casey, please.
Oh, so I really like this poem. And I, as it got towards the end, I better understood it. But in the beginning, and I don't know why my brain went there, but I definitely thought the butterfly and the cocoon was something way different. And then and then I realized that that was his lover or person that he was dreaming about, which is really cool. It makes it a lot more beautiful of a poem than where my brain went. So, yeah, I totally thought this was going to be tongue-in-cheek at first, and then I was like, oh, it's nice. It's actually very sweet. So, I enjoyed it. I thought that the rhyme was on point, not forced at all, and it just had a great flow to it. This was really nicely done, and I did really enjoy it.
Thank you, Casey. In the beginning, what were you imagining, an evil butterfly collector?
Oh, no. I don't want to admit it. I'm just going to leave it at. I think this is going to be a lot.
Thomas, your turn.
Oh, yes. Well, it started off to me like it was going to be the Beatles from Sgt. Pepper's or a Fairyland Frenzy. And I was very happy to see that it didn't go that way, but instead it was light, dreamy, frivolous, and full of fancy, but in a way that was delightful. And when he finally admitted that it was all a dream in the next to last verse, he did it in a way that made you kind of go, oh, it's too bad. I mean, I was really, and then the last verse just, may he please have the courage kind of thing. It was delightful. I thought it caught a whole lot of different attributes of one's desires, love, and dreams. In a fairly unique way that wasn't harmless, but wasn't too fierce either. It really balanced itself really nicely in a whole lot of ways. And I was rather impressed by the time I got done.
Thank you very much, Tom. And Jean, please.
Hello. This is Laurent. I cannot comment right now. I'm rebooting. If you would be
okay.
So kind as to read Dan Bettino's piece, that would be awesome. It's one of the top ones.
Let me get there. Hang on.
Thanks.
Yeah. Daniel Bettino, did you say?
Yes, that's the one.
Okay. Good luck on the reboot. Her Passion Invigorates by Daniel Bettino. Her passion invigorates. Sunlight calls through windows glow. The world awaits from dream's facade. A thought of you, I turn and smile. The light of truth penetrates from your eyes. A summer wind refreshes from your breath. Flowers caress from your touch. Skin as soft as a warm spring rain. A smile to which the heavens float. The world within, a love embrace. Close enough I cannot get. Deep enough I cannot feel. One is two, and two is one. Time is powerless and stops with envy. Stars shine in the bright morning sky. I awake to reality, and I am now awakened, a spirit of peaceful energy, harmonizing with a universal tone. A day for the taking awaits. End poem. Wow, that was a great little piece. I like that. Thomas, could you start us off, please?
Her passion invigorates. A title like that kind of piques one's curiosity, you might say. I like the opening because I like things that begin with light and the sense of both dreaminess and light and summer and the way it all comes together, both as a description of her and a description of his state of consciousness. And I love Daniel's use of imagery really nicely. I mean, even something as simple as close enough I cannot get, deep enough I cannot feel. One is two and two is one. How quickly he takes a moment to almost talk like he's figuring something out when really he's just pulling you deeper in. And this and because following that, you know, time is powerless and I awake to reality. But in the end, what he's doing is saying it's more like an epiphany and suddenly becoming really at peace with and one with this understanding of how perfect this moment is and how perfect she is in it. It's really a beautiful love poem when you get right down to it. Laura?
I am sorry. I was on mute. I agree with everything you said, Thomas. It's really beautifully done. It's so soft in tone, very, very peaceful. It radiates peace. And to finish it, a spirit of peaceful energy harmonizing with a universal tone, a day for the taking awaits. Once you are at that moment of perfect emotional and mental equilibrium, the day is there to take, to grab. What is the phrase that I should be calling to mind right now? Seize the day, so to speak.
Yeah.
You have to take the day when it comes to you. I really like this piece a lot. Casey, what did you like about this?
I agree with a lot of what's been said. I really appreciate how Daniel always kind of takes us through his consciousness. When he writes poetry, a lot of times he really brings us into his mind. And I think that's really, really a cool aspect of it. So I love how we kind of travel through, you know, sunlight calls through windows glow, thought of you, I turn and smile, and then all of the feelings he has about this woman and what she is to him. And then it tells about, you know, what she's giving to him because, something about they say, I don't know, in relationships, but one of the biggest things in relationships is that they should help each other to be better people. And it's a poem about how just knowing her without her doing anything, without her making any effort, just have it, being in her presence makes him feel like he can take on the world. And that's kind of the end there, a day for the taking of weights. Like, he's invigorated. He's ready to go. He's ready to take on the world just by knowing her and them sharing time together. And so I think that's just a really beautiful thing to write about. He did a really good job.
Hey, I really agree with your comments on the ending. I wanted to call attention to that one line, time is powerless and stops with envy. I thought that was very powerful. And in terms of a soft rhythm established, the lines, skin as soft as a warm spring rain, a smile to which the heavens float, the world within, a love embrace. It's very, very well done there. Now, I'm hoping at this point that the rebootee has rebooted, Jean.
I did.
But of course, we all have faith.
When nothing else fails, everything fails. I thought this was a beautiful piece by Dan. It was spiritual. It was well written. The imagery was wonderful. You know, I really, really liked it. And I thought there was great emotions well expressed all the way throughout. I went to pick out something to read, like a part of it, and I'm going, well, how do I pull this apart? You know, that's usually the hardest thing for me to do. But the light of truth penetrates from your eyes. The summer wind refreshes from your breath. Flowers caress from your touch. Skin is soft as a warm spring rain. A smile to which the heavens float. The world within a love embrace. You know, it's just a lovely section there in this whole poem to actually feel, you know, we all know the metaphors, but I mean, to just feel so much love for someone is pretty incredible to be able to have that
makes
sense
me, makes me want to cuddle up with my little teddy bear.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. With words like this, she would probably cuddle back. Anyway. Anyway, I think Dan did an excellent job all the way around. And, yeah, nice work. Nice work. Let me see now. Where do I want to go? I guess I'll go here. Okay. And I guess I might give this one a whirl. Okay, Silent Reverence by Tam. The moon is wearing fishnet stockings. I trace the patterns cast across your tan skin, an origami pleasure map. Your searching body rising to my every touch as your breath folds swans from candlelight floating above my collarbone. Your hungry blue eyes travel my sink like a slow Sunday divine, a Sunday drive, every curve and canyon as your artist fingers circle, don't stop by. A moan from your parted lips runs its hand up the arch of my back as our shadows stretch in the sound barrier beyond our bones and blood, thundering like a long summer storm, pulsing the boundaries of every ravine. As we climb passion flower vines, savoring the fruit and sweet nectar over and over, until spent desires curl into seahorses, spooning in a field of newborn lavender, and swans circle our bed in silent reverence. End of poem. It'd be nice if I knew how to read.
There you go. Well, Casey, you were hot, and it's getting hotter. What did you think?
Wow, this one is very image-forward. I really like some of the interesting combinations you put together. The moon wearing fishnet stockings is such an original idea. I mean, there's just so many interesting things throughout. In the beginning, she speaks of swans. As your breath folds swans from candlelight, and then at the end, the swans circle our bed in silent reverence. So it's kind of, it all ties in, it all comes together. But yeah, her imagery is just, it's very fresh. It's something I haven't seen a lot of her combinations that she put together here. I thought it was really interesting and wonderfully sensual.
Excellent comment. Thank you, my dear. Thomas, please.
Yeah, I completely agree. The opening, Moon is wearing fishnet stockings, actually, I immediately went, oh, no, are we going to get a whole lot of metaphors that I can't figure out what belongs with what? But I didn't. Instead, she very carefully created a universe where all the metaphors and all the similes worked beautifully in concert with each other and created this really sensuous roadmap through a period of lovemaking that was deeply sensuous, deeply loving, very awake and aware, but at the same time, very, very tender, very intimate, very close. And by the end, when we got to her completing the circle of mentioning the swans again, I was like, whoa, that was really, really wonderful to hear. Quite stunning piece.
Well, those were two great comments. Thank the two of you. I'll simply add that I thought the metaphors were so well drawn, and the sensuality was vivid, but it was an innuendo of the most delightful kind. Just a great piece. This really is. And the spent desires curl into seahorses spooning in a field of newborn lavender is simply delightful. I mean, you read the words and you have to smile at that. And I agree with you on the last couple of lines. Swans circle our bed in silent reverence. It leaves you with such a pleasant image. And swans do figure in all manner of literature, erotic and non-erotic. Let's see. Jean, what was your take on this piece?
You know, I thought this was a great poem, a really great write. I thought it was beautifully done, wonderful imagery. I loved the reference to the origami swans. I really enjoyed it, and I thought the last two lines were really awesome. And swans circle our bed in silent reverence. You know, it's not necessarily the swan circling the bed. I mean, that just leads right into the silent reverence, and something about that just pulls it all together. And it's a beautiful visual of its own. And I think that this was really a great piece. And I just checked out the painting that was the prompt. Holy fish. Wonderful stuff. Great. It was really a great
piece. I like your comment quite a bit. And you referenced something that I was going to at least mention briefly. The origami pleasure map denotes an unfolding that will occur. Yeah. And then there's a reference to breath folds swans from candlelight, almost like a refolding of light. I just enjoyed the interplay of those two ideas together. Sorry for the interruption.
Yeah. I think that's what I really liked about it. I loved all the origami references and the just throughout. And they were all subtle. They were very like understated, but they were right there in the face at the same time. So I thought that was really intriguing and nicely done. That's a good stuff. So if I could only read, we'd be good. That had me cracking. I'm like making up words. Like, what is that? Okie doke. So did that one. Laurent, that brings me to you. So I'm going to put this one up for you. Read. And here we go.
I think the moon's fishnets grabbed Robbie. Apparently he's got an issue with
it.
All right. This is by OMG and CP. And it's called I Dreamt. I dreamt that my frilled heart kicked and my bones shrunk under your sweetened touch. a magnetic pull, a classical tune in the back of my head as our skin settled and our blood boiled. I dreamt of you interwoven with me when no clothes were in the way. I was drawn into an illusion of your spell. When hands grip and fingers brush, yet out of respect, your eyes never left mine. I dreamt that your vintage lips leaked through the darkness of my room into my secret, forbidden places. For you, my arms were paralyzed. My legs twitched. My lungs froze over. I shuddered in your embrace. I dreamt that there wasn't much more time for you to stand under my porch light. So we headed inside. I told you that if the way you shine never spoiled the night stars, we'd just close the curtains and keep at it. End poem.
Thanks, Reed.
I like this piece. Gene, yeah. Why don't you start us off, please?
You know, I thought this was a very sensual and seductive light. It had wonderful imagery. It had a wonderful path. It led us down a wonderful path and a great read and a great sense of, you know, everything that's going on. And you can kind of almost feel this person, like, you know, holding their breath or their heart fluttering. I mean, you can just kind of get that from it. And I think it was just beautifully, beautifully done. It was... yeah, I think it was a great piece all the way around. I can't say anything. I could pick each stanza and go on about it, but I really think that it was well said all the way through. I think the Woody Allen and the Bill Belichick quotes were a little interesting, and Charlie Chaplin. But Charlie Chaplin one is the quote that I had as the lead-in for the contest. I think that's pretty interesting. Beautiful quote that was. Your naked body should only belong to those who fall in love with your naked soul. And, you know, there's a lot of truth in that. But just beautiful job, OMG, CP. You know, really, just great. And thanks
for that. If I understand correctly, we're dealing with a fairly young poet here, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we believe the 16 years old, very wise 16 years.
All right, Tom, you're going to slide right into the next comment. Go ahead, please.
Well, I like how it's in a dream where it's not about everything being perfect, but about being completely intimate and vulnerable to one another. In a way that cherishes the other person. I mean, I was a unique line to see the when hands grip and fingers brush, yet out of respect, your eyes never left mine. That has really nice double meanings and both sensuous and spiritual as well as respectful. The vintage lips that leaked through the darkness of my room into my secret forbidden places. It's this play of the intimacy and almost spiritual understanding of one another, I thought was really pulled off very, very nicely. So that when you get to that last line, all you can do is last verse, is sort of chuckle to yourself and nod and think, yeah, it's time to be private now, isn't it? It's just really, for a 60-year-old, they're wise, way beyond their years to write something like this.
Thank you, Thomas. Great comment. And Gacy, please.
I also really enjoyed this. I am impressed. Now that 16 she wrote it, but at the same time I feel like it was very relatable And that actually makes it even more relatable to me, because my comment before I knew she was 16 was going to be that I remember feeling like this when I was young. And you'd have that person that you were really interested in, but you could only really imagine, you know, doing things because otherwise you'd get in trouble. So, at least I would. So you, there were rules,
yeah,
but so, there. You know, she's standing under this porch light, and I think maybe talking to this guy, maybe not, maybe this is all just a dream, but what I think is happening is she's standing under this porch light talking to this guy that she's hanging out with, right, saying goodbye, but in her head, she's imagining doing way other things at the same time, but they're having this, you know, conversation, goodbye, you know, he's got to get going, dropping her off at home. Maybe he walked her home or something. But that's what I got out of this. And I just thought it's really, really wonderfully done. And I do love the idea of writing about that. I think that is, such a powerful thing, and like I said, so relatable. I think so many people have been in that point in their life or that spot in their life, whether they were young or not, where they were talking to somebody, but they weren't really in the moment. They were somewhere else. And I think that's really just wonderful. I loved this poem.
I couldn't agree with you more. What I like about this poem is every stanza is so well written, yet the first and the last stanza are especially good. That frilled heart kick and closing the curtains, I thought were great. Gene, I know we're starting to fall behind on a little bit. I'll shoot it right back to you.
Okay, no. Casey, I have the next one ready for you, if you don't mind.
All right. I like Lyrica Speaking. So She Is by Lyrica Speaking. She is a devil in disguise. She is untouchable, true to delight. She is bad in every way. She is a star far, far from above. She is a charge with time so divine. She is elegant to one wishes. She is an angel that casts when she appears. She is defined in the sun of rays. She is an iconic beauty, and it shows when she walks on water with shallow feet to be with. Oh my gosh, I can't talk today. And it shows when she walks on water with shallow feet. Be sure to meet her through to see her cast beauty that I always see as she is.
Thank you, Casey. That was well done, believe it or not. You may have stumbled once at the end, and it was right at that awkward, you know, there is an awkwardness to the words in the next to last couple of lines. But this poem takes She Is, and in my mind, it immediately makes it as impactful as those immortal words, I am. And it works, I think, all the way through here very, very well. And even though you read it first, if you could comment first, I would appreciate it.
Yeah. I actually was writing a comment on this one, too. She is. So I think, yeah, she really made those words impactful. I like that she talked about, who she is at first or who she is to her. And then I really do like how she wrapped it up with that I always see as she is. So it's more... I don't know how to explain that, but it's more powerful that way. It's when you say she is at the beginning of the sentence, right? Like she is the devil in disguise. It's light and it's fun and it's interesting. But when she says she is at the end of the sentence, saying that she sees her exactly as she is, it's something completely different. It's more internal. It's almost like when you say she is something, right? Then it's on the surface. But if you see her as she is, it's her entirety. And so I really enjoyed this poem for that sort of flipped understanding of a person. And I thought it was really beautiful.
Yeah, she presents a real portrait. And it's kind of, if you think about it, you have the title and you have the last line, which are identical. And then the title is reinforced at least 8 times throughout the poem. So she is, like you said, becomes impactful. But then you throw that delay in there between she is and, you know, I mean, you could say she is a devil in disguise, all right, but she is a devil in disguise. You gave that nice pause there. I like that. Tom, please.
Well, I like this because she sets it up with sort of creating the epitome of a beautiful angel who is vibrant and alive because we go from a devil in disguise to elegant to one wishes, an angel that casts when she appears. The sense of this is a stunning person becomes very clear. And then when she goes into a little stanza talk, she reinforces how much she is a gift. She is an iconic beauty, and it shows when she walks on water. And I agree totally with Casey, you know, the cast of beauty that I always see as she is. You say she goes from being the epitome to being the being. And that's a really sharp shift in your sense of the person and all the things that can be said about her and are contained within her. Very sharp, very well done.
Thanks, Thomas. Nice job. And Jean Marie.
Well, I thought this was nicely penned. And my whole thing was, she is a force to be reckoned with. And I said, well done. Because I think that about sums it up. When you take all the rest of that and you wrap it all into one, well, in one skin, it's a force to be reckoned with. So that's my thoughts. And great job, Eric. I appreciate it. Okay. Here we go. Yeah, where I go, I don't know. Okay. Okay, Thomas, this is bringing me to you. It says, Thomas, he's next.
Okay.
I'll stop being
that's
silly.
The way you feel. I'm not one to argue with it. So we're looking at Summer Evening Enchantments by Randall S. Burnt skies die in twilight's diminishing hue. Another August evening, birds by quiet emergence, warm with nocturnal eyes. Counting shadows in a keep of gentle darkness outside blue light spectrums and artificial emanations from docked boat slips. As orange moons slowly move in casual arcs, full and majestic above harmonic lovers, dirt dancing to stone reflections, glistening on placid water, while sensual sounds and calm winds tickle goosebumps beneath strong hands. after tasting each other's stir and lingering tips of soft lips. End poem.
Thank you, Thomas. That was a strong read. I really like Randall's writing, especially in this case, the third stanza, counting shadows in a keep of gentle darkness outside blue light spectrums and artificial emanations from docked boat slips. I like his use of language and phrasing. I also like his construction on his poems, sliding left to right. It's different, yet it works every bit as well as keeping everything lined up in a straight line left. Casey, your comment, please.
This was really beautiful. And just it flowed so nicely. My favorite stanza in the whole poem was the second to last. While sensual sounds and calm winds tickle goosebumps beneath strong hands, I think that has such a wonderful duality in it. And it's just, it really brings, personally for me, going throughout the poem, that's where the sensuality kind of struck me. And I think that's the perfect way to do it, with kind of that slow buildup. He really did a wonderful job with this.
Well said, Casey. Thank you. And Thomas?
Well, he does do a beautiful job of creating a beautiful summer evening and filling it with soft, romantic images. But the focus is outward upon the view. And then this little two-line shift, dirt dancing to stone reflections glistening on placid waters, while, in the next to last verse, sensual sounds in calm winds tickle goosebumps beneath strong hands. And suddenly, just like the minute you hear the sensual sounds in calm winds, the focus has completely shifted and it's turned inward, and it becomes powerfully romantic, deeply sensual, and you fill in all the blanks. And then that final little trio of after tasting each other's stir on lingering tips of soft lips. What more do you need to say?
Amen to that. Amen to that. Gene, I'm going to shoot it back to you.
Well, I think this was just a beautiful write by Randall. Wonderful imagery as always. I think that it was beautiful emotions, well penned. And, yeah, I very much enjoyed it. So thank you, Randall, for sharing with us tonight. I appreciate it. Okay. Now, let me see what I can do here. That brings me to you, Willa. Only because I don't know what I'm going to read. I do this. And whenever you're ready.
Fantasies of You by the Beatnik. I want to pretend that your body is covered in braille so I can read every line. I want to feel your alabaster skin with mine, intertwined. I want to love you an endless time of you and I in an amorous rhyme. I want to taste your lust, the heat of your passion so divine. I want to explore your erogenous zones and let you explore mine. I want to give you the feelings that you crave, so sublime. I want you to lie here with me from now until the end of time. I want to share the secrets of our lives combined. I long for these in a fantasy as I lay here, supine. End poem.
Yeah,
great little ending. She who chuckles first gets to comment first, Casey.
I liked his use of supine. I obviously have more to comment about the poem, but that's what I giggled at, because he says, as I lay here supine, I was like, that is a fantastic use of the word supine.
Wholeheartedly.
Yeah. It's just, you wouldn't normally see it there, you know, so it just, it made me giggle.
Well, he's committed to the Ein rhyme, right? All the way through.
Yeah.
What right. other word could have used that made sense? And it's the perfect word, like you said.
Yeah. No, it's perfect. It really is. But it's just,
it's
like,
almost like
you know.
He wrote the poem just to be able to use that word.
Yeah. I don't know. It just clicked somewhere in my brain. Other than that, sorry, not to get stuck on supine. I think that this is really well done. I do love the Ein throughout. I thought he did a great job with that. You know, used some really great words in here. Intertwined, divine, sublime. I mean, just some really great words. And then I also like how he kind of, he starts every stanza with I want until the end. And then at the end he says I long. So it's I want, I want, I want. But truly, in the end, he's longing for this. Like it's more than a want. It's a longing. And I thought that it was really wonderfully done. I also really love the couplets. I like the style of this poem very much.
And I thank you very much, Casey. Tom, you read Braille, don't you?
No, it's not part of my skill set. But I'll take it if I have to. The whole thing's a delight, you know. It really captured me more with I want to feel your alabaster skin with mine intertwined. That somehow resonated to me, and as I a lot of times I listen to poems and listen for what is the first thing that really pulls me into the poem, and while I like the first couplet because it's a neat image, it somehow just didn't grab me as hard as that second pair. Maybe it was being I was set up for it. Who knows? This is a delightful play with the word I want, because I really do feel like he built the word I want just so he could say I long for these in a fantasy as I lay here supine. It just punctuates so perfectly everything and completely reorientates your entire sense of how all those I want to be explored. That I thought it was great.
Thank you, Thomas. And Jean?
Well, I thought this was another piece nicely penned. I thought it was wonderful rhythm and rhyme throughout, and I thought they did a great job. So thank you, Beatnik, for sharing with us. You know, as always, I always appreciate your work. Yep. Okay, so I guess it's on to me. And here we go. This piece is called Temptation by My Angels Three. Into her den I stroll, fully aware of what I am doing. A sex room of forbidden desires, crawling with lust and escapade. Like a moth to a candle flame, I cannot resist the pull to reach out and take the she-devil's hand, knowing I will get scorched. I play the game like a novice, like so many before me. I slide into bed, my longing too great. I cannot resist. My body is helpless to her touch. Caught off guard, I wasn't expecting her to immediately grab and kiss me, erasing all my tension. I love how passionate she is about everything. I feel fiery, tempered, and spontaneous, already looking for an adventure. I have no self-control. I cannot think. I can only feel. passion consumes me. I am no longer me. I am hers. The enigma that is her holds me hostage. It breaks me into a thousand agonizing pieces. And yet, I always come back for more, each time with the hope of finally finding that deep soul happiness, that soul deep happiness I desperately long for. As the dawn approaches, I know the serious error I have made. Rain falling outside, matching the silent tears, I lay there and cry. The silly heart has now crossed over. I slip out of bed, willing myself not to turn around. The face I now adore will keep me where I know I never should have been in the first place.
That was a first-class read. Thank you, Jean. The Moth and the Flame, a story that no matter how often we hear it, we know the bitter ending, but it's in the telling. And the telling of this was absolutely fine. Thomas, could you start us off?
This piece goes through some interesting changes. Because into her den I stroll, fully aware of what I am doing. A sex room of forbidden desires, crawling with lust and escapades. And it sounds like it's a build to some really sexy, sensuous. And yet, has shown up. I was like listening to it, thinking about how, you know, he was a lost soul being caught in the fire of an incredible woman and lover, and. But we get to that end where as the dawn approaches, I got lost. I couldn't tell you whether it was a dream they were waking up from, or if they were a spirit that had slipped into a moment of believing they were reborn and alive in a wonderful place. And I'm still reading this and trying to figure out exactly what's going on with this being. I will grant them a great deal of skill for keeping me fascinated and trying to figure it out. That's the best way I could think to say it.
Thank you, Thomas. A good poet will write about a subject that is very relatable. Often. And sometimes what he's written will really lodge in someone's skull as an experience that he or she has already had. When he says, "Into her den I stroll, fully aware of what I am doing, a sex room of forbidden desires, crawling with lust and escapades," when he uses the words "I stroll," there's an absence of tension there. Of someone who knows what he's doing. And in my mind's eye, I can see in the red light district of maybe Louisiana, New Orleans, a house of ill repute that is done in a fairly old-fashioned way. But a sex room of forbidden desires, crawling with lust and escapades. And the reason that I dwell on those is that as a young Navy sailor on his first liberty, I visited one of these places. And I felt the same way. You know, everything was red lights and crawling with lust and escapades. Pretty much defines exactly what was going through my head, and I almost backed out. But, like a moth to candle flame, I cannot resist the pull. And that, I'll tell you what, there's got to be so many guys, and perhaps girls, I don't know, who have felt that and subjected themselves to that, only, as he says, to be caught off guard. Right? He's talking about her passion, you know, when she grabs him immediately and kisses him. And then in that middle area, I have no self-control. I cannot think. I can only feel. Passion consumes me. I am no longer me. I am hers. Those are quick, repetitive lines, almost giving you the impression of a body moving quickly, rhythmically. And then he falls in love with her. And for a long period of time, I thought I was in love with the gal that I had gone to bed with as well. But of course, you know, you a young heart gets over that and moves on. But boy, this is so relatable to me and so well written. And I'm sorry, perhaps, to have related that little story, but there it is nonetheless. Casey, please.
So I kind of got two sides to this in my brain. The first, like, while you were reading this, I first also thought of, like, maybe it's like a brothel situation that he went into. And but I also, so what connected with me a little more was thinking it as their friends with benefits sort of situation. So this is a woman that he knows, he's seen before, he has slept with before, but he noticed he started becoming more attached. And so he knew when he walked into her den or when he met up with her again, like he knew that was risky because he had already become more attached and he didn't want to have a relationship with this person. That wasn't the agreement. and so he knows that's not what she wants. And he does it anyway because he wants to. He essentially fully aware of what he's doing. You know, the part where it says I play the game like a novice, like so many before me, that is, it does hinge towards more of like a sex worker, I think. But in the version in my mind, where it's a friend with Ben, you know, he really knows her as a person as well. Like this is a friend that he had before they started having sex. And so that's why he says, I love how passionate she is about everything. So in her life, she's passionate. Maybe she's passionate in whatever work she's doing. He's really attracted to her as a whole person. And now, not having no self-control and getting in the bed with her, again, after he said he wasn't going to or whatever, he is stuck and he's hurt. And doesn't know what to do because she doesn't want a relationship, and he does.
You know, I think I like your interpretation better than mine. It's a good deal more rational. Nice job. And Jean, back to you.
Okay. Well, I have to say my angel is 3. I think this was a very well done piece. I like the direction of it. And, you know, of course, while everybody was commenting, I'm, like, looking over the last couple of comments. And the one that seemed to hit a nerve with my Angels 3 was, nicely penned experience of regret for giving into an instance of need and that fulfillment leaving an ever-seeping wound. So it's something, you know, you give into because, you know, it seems good at that moment. And then it's kind of, what's it like that? Why did I do it? You know, and you instantly regret having taken that step and possibly ruining the relationship that existed before. So I found that to be interesting. And, you know, really when you read it, you know, it's got all this passion going on. And then all of a sudden I slip out of bed willing myself not to turn around. Seeing her face, the face I now adore, will keep me where I know I should never have been in the first place. So true, so true. And, yeah, I think it was just a very well-done piece. I thought it was well-expressed. So thank you so much, my angel Stuart. Absolutely. Okay. And, Casey, that brings me back to you. Woo! There we go.
Okay. An hour of delicate delight. I walk in, sit down, and she lights the single candle in the darkness. She knows what I want. I'm her favorite, and she is mine. Her skin glows in the flickering flame, and I watch her as she prepares to delight me. It's always the same. Her offering is sweet, sublimated, born upon the cool layers of white linen in the shadow of dim corner. Warm and slightly saline, soft as cream. A feast for the hungry soul of me. Cool to the touch at first, warming to tangy. And I savor every subtle, la la, oh man, I can't talk today, I'm sorry. Cool to the touch at first, warming to tangy, and I savor every subtle nuance, every fragrance. Unpeeling the secret petals like a flower opening, layer by layer, deeper into the core, until at last, the salty brine of the satisfying finale. I reach over for my glass. She fills it. I leave money on the linens for her and drink deeply of her warm sake. I am satiated for now, but the hunger always returns. She knows my weakness. I am addicted to her sushi.
That's a great little ending. Thank you so much, Casey. Thomas, why don't you start us off?
This has a really very warm tenderness about it, and a really interesting attention to details in the room, sensations, and a certain simplicity that allows you to sort of spread out from the description and see more of what's going on. But the ending is very, way, way clever. Especially running the and drink deeply of her warm sake. And I am satiated for now, but the hunger always returns. She knows my weakness. I'm addicted to her sushi. That just cracked me up. There are so many different layers of innuendo in that it's just priceless.
Thank you, Tom. Jay employs the art of misdirection very, very well in this particular piece. Because the language used and the title is automatically going to lead the mind to believe what it shouldn't believe. wants something erotic, so everything is translatable. You know, every subtle nuance, as the poet says, every fragrance, unpeeling the secret petals like a flower opening. Now, that's very not common, but often used metaphor for a young woman or a woman of any age, really, opening herself physically to her lover. So I'm addicted to sushi really comes as a delight at the end. Casey, how about you?
Yeah, I just, well, that was crazy. I like the twist kind of at the end. I mean, the whole thing,
okay, thank you.
Thank you. Still dealing.
Gene, I tell you what, might not take me more than 10 minutes to eat that sushi. How about you?
No, man, I love sushi. I do.
Fresh fish.
I thought it was wonderfully penned, and I love the double entendre throughout. Definitely loved it, the twist at the end. I thought that was, you know, it gives you a minute like where you have to kind of soak it in, you know. So it was nicely done. Great work. Mm-hmm. So, Thomas, that brings me to you. And if you do not mind,
okay.
Thank you.
And The Cure by Just Mike. One. I see pictures into focus like the red from my eyes that relinquish morning air, slow to breathe. Colors run to nowhere in particular, and I'm in the kitchen stirring coffee grounds. Through the caffeine drips and smoke haze, I cough my last cigarette and sort madness into mason jars. Words vibrate. Oh, they do. Where I sit, sprawling stories beating and snaking across the oak table like rivers from nowhere to flow. She strolls into the bedroom, yawning and tousled, green eyes full as clovers, inviting her shoulders over to the table. With her long neck, she tilts her head, and the morning straw hair falls as fingers dancing along the wood. When she grins, story beads gather. If she reached across, rivers may evaporate, and yet her clouds will pour enough for parched fields. Words shiver. Oh, they do. Three. Strands of heat rise from my coffee cup, thought liquid where skin touches down. Her face leans in with dimpled cheeks, tank top lax and hurrying away. The beads collapse into puddles, and the rivers climb to rapids, a world behind her disappears. Hey, brown eyes, she whispers. Or those words, all those maddening words, they blur and dwindle in her jade irises, and I can calmly concede. I have been lost in her haze for a while. And home.
Damn, Tom. You inhabited that poem. You put it on like
thank you.
You put it on like a suit of clothes that fit. That was a very nice read. This is a hell of a poem. You know, the reference to sprawling stories beating and snaking across an oak table like rivers with nowhere to flow, given the fact that he just finished his coffee and his cigarette, I can't help but think of someone who sees stories in images almost everywhere he looks. And then to have all that dissipated by her presence, when she grins, story beads gather. If she reached across, rivers may evaporate. But he rewards her by saying, and yet her clouds could pour enough for parched fields. You know, and when he says words vibrate and words shiver, it's someone who knows about words, and yet those words tend to disappear, blurred and dwindling in her jade irises. I thought it was a lovely piece. Very nice. Casey, how did you like this?
Yeah, I loved this one. I thought it was beautiful. I really like, I don't know what you call the one, two, and three pieces, but I liked the piece number two, especially, where he talked about how she looked in the morning and coming into the room. What I really liked about that is that he used a lot of pieces of nature to describe her. And not only to describe her, but the environment around her. And so it felt as if she was almost like this earthly goddess-type creature. It was really beautiful. Just the whole thing throughout, getting lost in her haze, I thought it was just a beautiful way to kind of end it and bring it all together. It was just very lovely. Oh, and I wanted to tell Tom, good job on the read. It was really good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
That was a great comment, Casey. Thank you so much. And Jean Marie, it is your turn.
Wow.
Are you torturing the dog again?
That was it. You caught me. I was beating him.
Oh,
this is
cute.
Whenever he eats any kind of grains, his ears start acting up, and needless to say, he grabs grain every time he gets a chance.
Mm.
So some days I have to suffer with the wine. No cheese either. Anyway, I'm just, now that I have my thoughts, right? Mm-hmm, sure. Let me see. I thought it was beautifully written. I thought it was a wonderful tale told in this piece. And I thought the imagery and the dialogue was well done throughout. So, you know, definitely a great piece. And thank you, Mike, for sharing with us. And, hopefully you'll get that SoundCloud figured out and we'll be good. And I'll talk to you soon about that. Okay. So now, Grant, this is going to bring me to you.
All right. This is what it's called, I Know Your Name is Love. There were nights, soft nights of delight, when you melted me beneath an orange moon, bathing us in soft flame, and I knew your touch was love. Days, long days filled with wind and perfumed grasses, when the sun shone happy in your copper hair. Blue sky twinkled in your emerald eyes, and I knew your smile was love. Evenings lost in ballads, sung quietly, strummed gently, beat kept with your foot, words guided by your eyes, which never left mine, and I knew your gaze was love. Mornings, lazy mornings, when our stretches caressed boundaries, turning awakening into an embrace, sending the morning doves flying into the dawn, startled, and I knew your sweet kiss was love. There's a face within the unfolding of dreams that carries me into the small hours, smiling, content, wrapped in the cradle of your arms, where there are no demons to fear, and I know your name is love. End poem.
Excellent piece, really beautiful. Casey, you want to start us off?
I thought that this was really beautiful. I like that you end each stanza with how you knew the different pieces that of that stanza that stood out was love, you know? So your touch, your smile, your gaze, your kiss, like it was really beautifully done, and it seemed to get more intense as the poem went on. I Know Your Name is Love is just a beautiful title for it. It's a really wonderful way to explain why a person is somebody that you love. I just think you did a beautiful job. Obviously, lots of beautiful imagery throughout. Your poetry always does. So I just thought it was really well done.
Thank you very much, Casey.
Okay. And Thomas, how about you?
Well, this was delightful. It was like being taken into a story on a late fall day when the chill in the air is beginning to talk too much about winter, and being told in a almost like it was a ballad about all the different ways one can fall, know, and discover love, and be graceful in the process, and be deep and rich, and knowing that in sharing this, all the cold and chill of winter will be held at bay because love will keep us warm until spring comes again.
Thank you, Thomas.
You're welcome.
That leaves you, Gene.
Oh, you want me off mute when I say these things to you? Sure. Sure, I can. Wow. Anyway, I thought this was beautifully written. Fabulous imagery, you know, all the way through. And I really very much enjoyed it. I think that there's so many incredible stanzas that to pick one would be kind of unfair. I say that a lot because I really believe that. Each one feeds into the next or, you know, builds one next. And I think that, you know, to do that, it's easy, you know, just yank something out. But I don't think that it's very fair to any of the other students. Anyway, I think it really is beautiful. And I think you did a wonderful job with this. And it's hard to believe it's only 2 years. Amazing. Amazing, amazing. So,
you're very kind.
Job. Oh, yeah. I know, but it's okay. Send me a check. Anyway, I'm going to be good now. Casey, you're up next, hon.
Oh, all right. So I think that this one has actually been one before, actually, now. I'm not sure on what show or whatever, but it was a while ago, just to preface this, because I wrote into the pre-writes only one, and I was trying to find one that wasn't on. But I gaze in the mirror. I gaze in the mirror, gliding my fingertips, skin soft as peach, nipples like rosebuds blossoming. Heartbeat travels. I put my fingers on the pulse, coming alive inside of me. Giving in to her. I am just a girl in front of a mirror.
You may be just a girl in front of a mirror, but wow, this has power. I put my fingers on the pulse, coming alive inside me, giving in to her. I'm just a girl in front of a mirror. So beautiful. You know, words of a woman who carries life within her have a special, I don't know if meaning is the right word, that they have a special flavor of a reality that men can never really know. These are words that to me come from deep, deep inside. And what do you have inside of you? But your child, your little girl. And to read the beginning, gliding my fingertips, skin soft as a peach, nipples like rosebuds blossoming. Your body is undergoing changes physiologically, and the breasts do swell, preparatory to feeding the child. And I thought you know, this is a brevity, but good Lord, you hit on some essentials that make this thing seem, and if not voluminous, completely thorough as to the moment. You can wrap the idea around yourself, and you can live that moment. And that is an outstanding thing. I really like this, Casey.
Thanks.
Thomas?
I can't begin to Laurent. So,
Thomas. Thomas, so we're even.
Well, you know, that's true. It depends on who goes first a lot. I just feel in a sense honored to hear something like this, and because it's so intimate and tender and it's so full of an awakening to a sense of an inner beauty that doesn't need a lot of explanation, isn't based upon judgment. It's just an acceptance and wonder with a touch of awe that just makes it beautiful. Very impressive.
Thank you.
And
I guess it brings it back to me.
Yeah, sorry. I was just thinking about what Tom said. I was going to congratulate him, and I got lost.
Should have made Tom, you did a great comment on that for sure. I think this piece was beautifully written, Stacey. Lovely work for sure. And that's what I said last time I heard it. I think that it was a delicate right, and I think that what I got from it was, it's just, I'm just a girl in front of a mirror. It's more than that. It's way more than that. It's a woman embracing herself, her femininity, her beauty, and I think that is really, what it comes down to. It can be read a couple different ways, but, I see it like that, the femininity. Anyway, I think it was a beautiful job and very nicely done. Awesome.
Thanks.
Awesome. Okay. Thomas, this brings me to you.
Okay.
Here we go.
I'm up. Okay. Oh, yeah. Hope's accident. Scraped my knees against this poem as I stumbled across your words. Saw the candles burning through the cypress grove, ran against the boat tied to the dock of your past, bobbing in the water, the oars shipped, bumping against a stake driven deep, the lighthouse moaning in the fog, ghosts swirling, you trying to create the promise of once was in a now that is only a phantom. I broke a nail on the silken ties, so artfully crisscrossing the heart, keeping you in prison, laughing through tears, claiming pleasure as I ran my fingers across wealth of memory. This reaper's moon sits fat on the horizon. My tongue tastes the salt, tears, you protest. Declare magic, lost on the edge of the horizon where the seed disappears. All directions, we are following the arc of the perspective. The thunder heads on the horizon, flattened on the ceiling of the sky. The gulls spin and wheel, cry out. I have a splinter driven deeply beneath the skin from the gunwales of the dory. Your tongue traces the blue-black ridge of my skin, the path of its entry. It will fester. And poem.
Holy moly.
Amen to that. Before we start on comments, could you give us a little bit of background on this wonderful piece?
Oh, there was a critter, woman, fascinating person, from Savannah, Georgia, named Lane. She had probably half the men on this site absolutely in adoration and delighted in playing with all of them. She and I actually got to be pretty good friends in a lot of ways. And when everything blew up in her face, I got a real nice letter. about, you know, why she left the site. But this is one of my ones where in the process of getting to know her and stuff like that, I took a lot of the little things that we shared, a lot of little innuendos that went back and forth between us, and put them all into one poem. And let it all hang out. Why not?
I like that. I like that a lot. What appeals to me in this poem, with that backstory in mind, has to be the images that you grace us with. The lighthouse moaning in the fog, ghosts swirling, you trying to create the promise of once was and now that is only a phantom. And that's probably an apt description of what occurs when you were dealing with someone who is not in the same room that you are, someone that perhaps you will never see. Establishing a relationship electronically by text leads to all kinds of things that we can try that we would never try perhaps in person. But I was really fascinated with lines like, this reaper's moon sits fat on the horizon, or where the sea disappears in all directions, we are following the arc of the perspective, which I think is very nice. I thought the splinter at the end worked very, very well. You know, it's almost like something that you can't get out of there. And it's going to get infected. As you say, it will fester. And, you know, it's nice to read some of your early poetry. This one is especially good. Thank you for sharing it with us. And Casey, please.
This one I thought was really interesting. To me, it sounded like before I had the backstory, somebody that you're in an almost toxic relationship with, that throughout the poem you scraped your knees and you were left bobbing in the water, bumping against a stake driven deep. There was a lot of like negative pieces, but also, you know, you broke a nail. There's a lot of like physical pain that I took as emotional pain elements to it in the relationship, that eventually led to the end, where you sort of decided that maybe you weren't healthy for each other, or you didn't really need to continue to be friends or continue talking. And that's where I kind of got it, because some of the lines that you had, like, so artfully crisscrossing the heart, keeping you in prison, almost like saying you knew that she didn't belong there, but you had to keep her anyway, because you both were kind of lying to yourselves and saying, this is a good thing, even though it really wasn't. At the end here, my tongue tastes the salt tears, you protest, declare magic. That line to me said, it's over, but you're not ready for it to be over. You want to believe it was better than what it was, but there was clearly all of this pain in the past of the poem. I guess that's not really exactly what this was about, but that's what I took it as.
You picked up on pretty much all of it. I would not worry about missing anything.
Okay. Well, I thought that was great.
Casey is nothing if not discerning. All right, Jean.
Well, Thomas, I thought this was very well done. I really love the stanza, scraped my knees against this poem as I stumbled across your words, saw the candles burning through the cypress grove, ran against the boat tied to the dock of your path, bobbing in the water of the oars shipped, bumping against the stake-driven deep. I also liked your last stanza of the poem as well. I thought it was very well done all the way through. Great words. So I much enjoyed.
Oh, thank you. There's a whole lot in tied into this, but it's a matter of I don't really share confidences about other people that they shared with me. So, you know, there's a lot of layers in this. But Casey hit it pretty well in the main theme.
Nothing wrong with
well,
that.
I'm glad I was reading correctly.
There's nothing wrong with keeping someone's confidence, Thomas. It's admirable.
I always
it doesn't,
do.
That doesn't happen much these days. So, good for you. Okay, Laurent, that brings me back to you.
And it brings us back to...
This is by Papa Mama Jama, and it's called The Rendezvous. What an attractive prompt. The wind blows smoldering sticks left from the bonfire on a cold November afternoon. She stares at the gray smoke and orange cracklings wrapped in a thick flannel black and white checkerboard blanket. Excuse me, I'm going to begin again. The wind blows smoldering sticks left from the bonfire on a cold November afternoon. She stares at the gray smoke and orange cracklings wrapped in a thick flannel black and white checkerboard blanket, sipping a glass of Chardonnay alone in her backyard. Scanning the girth of sycamore maple trees, her eyes open wide and her thoughts turn to the night's rendezvous, releasing a giggle no one can hear. She is startled for a second by the meows of the neighborhood cat and spies his shiny black-brown mane moving under her fence as his tail slithers out of sight. Her phone lights with a beep, and she clutches it tight and reads the text, "Be there in 5. Sauntering into her house, she checks her face in the mirror and releases the blanket to the carpet floor of her living room and unfolds the white cotton sheets of her queen-size bed, taking a quick sip of wine. Before sliding under the sheets, she inhales the sight of her black lace lingerie and pulls the sheet up to her neck and lies still as her heartbeat pounds. In a clay pot, she grows figs, and they hang heavy on the vine. She turns her head to watch them and is fascinated by their shape and purple color. Her trance is broken by the sound of her doorknob snapping and the front door squeaking as footsteps approach her bedroom door. The scent of musk and testosterone tickles her waxed rose petals to blush. She pulses and unfurls. He enters the room holding 2 dozen red roses with baby's breath. She smiles in approval and points to a glass jar half filled with water by the side of her bed. He inserts the stems, removes his shoes and trousers and shirt, and closes the thick, heavy wooden door, and it clicks shut. Peeling back the sheets, he takes the view of her body and presses into her welcoming embrace. His whirling tongue stains her alabaster skin, unwrapping her like a Christmas gift with pulling fingers and playful lips, feasting wild and greedy. Her feet leverage in a field of cotton sheets. With vacant eyes, she braces. Her breath is a staccato mantra of half-formed words and sounds, hands squeezing his hips as she is filled with the hunger of man. And the truth comes to her again that pleasure is a maddening drug that has no equal. End short story.
Nice read, Laurent.
Wow. That is quite the story. Yes, it is. Thomas, please, could you start us?
Well, it's definitely poetic prose verging on being a prose poem, but it's great descriptions. nice use of the metaphors of the fears, you know, using the neighborhood cat, drinking the wine, the preparation for the bed, the fascination with the figs. There's just a whole lot of subcurrents that he brings into this that fit suddenly, I mean, click into place for me anyway, with her feet leveraged in a field of cotton sheets, with vacant eyes she braces. For all the pleasure, for all of the anticipation, there's a place that isn't intimate and that isn't tender that lives in her. And that makes her look at the pleasure as a drug rather than the man as someone she can love. Interesting. I mean, I just found that ending just really, really terribly interesting. Really brought out the psychologist in me, I'll admit it. But there you go.
You know, Tom, that was really interesting because I was wondering about the word vacant. At first, I thought it didn't ring true. But after hearing what you said, I got to agree. That was a nice comment. Thank you. And Casey, please.
So, I have mixed feelings about this. Here's what I think. I think this is about a woman cheating on her husband. The reason I think it's about a woman cheating on her husband is because she's startled by the cat. She's doing something she's not supposed to be doing. She's startled. She's on edge. something would scare her, right, if she was doing something she wasn't supposed to be doing and she got caught. So the sound of the cat startles her because she's worried it's somebody else maybe coming home. Other things that make me think this is a woman cheating on her husband would be that vacantness, but also at the end, that the pleasure is a maddening drug that has no equal. She's dipping into something that doesn't really, she shouldn't be, you know what I mean? So that's what I think this is really about. Now, when you first read it, in some parts of it, I thought maybe it was like her husband coming home. Maybe he's like somebody who's in the army or something and is gone for a long time. And he's just coming home, and so she's excited to see him. But there's a lot of things throughout this poem that point to this is something that she knows she shouldn't be doing. And so that's why I think that this is a man that she is not supposed to be being filled with the hunger of man. So I don't know, but that's what I got.
Casey, I got to say that once again, I think you have delved deeply and successfully. That's a great point you made. All right, we got, I don't know, a minute and a half left. Gene, back to you.
Yes. Back to me with one minute left. I want to thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Casey. Thank you, Laurent, for co-hosting with me. It was a great night of poetry and some carryovers. It'll be maybe a not-so-frisky Friday, but we have some to take over, so why not, right? And Papa Mama Jama, that was a great story. Left me wanting more. You know, just saying. Great job. And thank you for sharing that with us. So, yeah, tonight, let's see, Neutron Bomb after midnight, 12:30. No, I lied. It's Wednesday. Good Lord Almighty. It's Black Lace Diaries at 12:30 with Victoria Frost. Oh, excuse me. Mr. M. and Miss Frost. Day will be hosting the show tonight. Silly me. I don't know what I was thinking. And anybody who has a chance, please, you know, hang out and listen in. I'm sure they'd be glad to have a caller or three, just saying. And, yeah, I hope you all enjoy that show. And tomorrow is Thursday, and it's Art in Our Craft and Soul and Art with Richard Weissman and Neutron Bomb, followed by Into the Darkness, I believe, with him. You all have a great night. Take care, and we'll talk soon. Thanks, everybody.
Good night, all.
Much love. Good night.